Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Before we get into the message today, I want to give you an update on what's going on here in Kenya. And coming from Kenya today, out in West Kenya, Mumias Town. And we have been having wonderful weather every other day, nice rains, and so our crops out at the children's home are looking good. We have about 2 acres of crops out there, maize and beans, peanuts, lots of vegetables, different kinds of vegetables. So we're blessed at this time with abundance of rain, abundance of sunshine. And so the growing conditions are very good right now. We have the children in school, about 25 children in school, different schools. Most of them go to a Catholic school, a public school, and several of them are also disabled, and so they go to special needs schools. One of the projects we have in mind for the coming years is to build a primary school for ourselves, for our own children, and the children of Makunda Village. And so you can pray about that project with us. We have 1 acre purchased next to the children's home, and we have our sights set on another acre, praying about buying that. Then we could have 2 acres together to build a nice school and have 150 or 200 children from the village and from our own home that could go to that school and receive instruction not only in ABCs, but also instruction in Bible training and the ways of the Lord. So pray about that project with us. We want to get that started this year if possible and get moving with that school project. Well, today we're going to be talking about the fall of man. And this is a big, big subject because every day people ask the question of themselves or somebody else, why is the world in such a mess? And you look at the daily news, you look at the newspaper, the television, the internet, and it's just a barrage of negative news, a barrage of bad stories, people killing each other, shooting each other, people chopping each other with machetes, and on the global scale, wars and rumors of wars. And so we wonder if we have a loving God that we know and we serve, and a loving God that cares about us, and we are created in His image, why is everything in such a mess? Why are people so distraught? Why are people so full of anxiety? Why are people so vicious and eat each other and kill each other and rape each other? And it's just constant barrage of mayhem. And so it all goes back to Genesis chapter 3, which we'll look at here in just a minute. But Genesis chapter 3 was the setting for the fall of man, the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were there, and they had perfect bliss. They had no sorrow, they had no pain, they had no tears. Everything was just as they needed it, and this was God's plan. He walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. He walked with Adam, he spoke with him. Adam was made in God's image, and he looked like God in his physical body. He had hands, God has hands. He had eyes, God has eyes. He had a soul, God has a soul. And so Adam was in the garden, and he was in his perfection. And then it says in Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 15, then the Lord God took the man, Adam, and he put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. So Adam had his job. He had his calling. Even before Eve was created, Adam had his calling. And in verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so God gave instructions to Adam. There were many trees in the garden that produced good fruit for man to eat. There were many trees that God provided that he had no restrictions on partaking of that fruit. But one tree in the middle of the garden God said, "This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you shall not eat of it." And the reason God spoke that was because he did not want man to have knowledge of evil. Up until this point in time, Adam had no knowledge of evil. He only knew good. He was created in the image of God, and he was not supposed to know about evil. And so when God put that tree there, he had to put a barrier between himself and Adam. He put a barrier there so that Adam would not think he was God. That because God created Adam in his image and he was in a place of perfection, he had no sin, he had no sorrow, he had no pain. And so God knew, even before he created Adam, he knew that there would be a propensity or a probability, or you could say possibility, that Adam would think he was God, that Adam would think he was equivalent to God, because everything in his own sight, his natural sight, would make him think that he was a God, or that he was God. Well, God had already dealt with this with Satan. Jesus said, we looked at that last week, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so Satan himself, we looked at the scripture in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28. You can go there and read those two chapters, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And Satan had a problem with his pride, Lucifer, as he was called in heaven. Lucifer, he was an anointed cherub, and he had a problem with his pride, and he said, "I will ascend, I will take over, I will go up onto the mountain of God, I will take over." And so his pride got in the way of him serving God, and he wanted to become like God and take over God's kingdom. Well, he still does today. Satan fell like lightning, Jesus and God cast him out. And he still wants to take over today, and he is the ruler of this world. Jesus said that the devil is the ruler of this world, but never mind, I have overcome the world. And so through Jesus Christ, we can overcome the works of the devil. We can overcome the attacks of the evil one, but it takes work, and it takes prayer, and it takes fellowship with the saints. It takes fasting. It takes praise and worship. All of these weapons that we have at our disposal are for overcoming the evil one on this earth. But beloved, it's not a passive walk. It's not a passive battle. It's not a passive war. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, "Stand firm, so that you may be able to withstand the wiles or the schemes of the evil one," and after you've done all, to keep standing. And so it's not an easy battle. And if you retreat, the devil will chase you. If you retreat, the devil will keep tormenting you and come after you. And so we need to stay on the offensive. We need to keep our defensive armor on, but stay on the offensive. Go after the devil and try to destroy his kingdom. Jesus said, "I came to destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus was not passive. The things that he did were active and proactive, and he was intent on destroying the works of the devil, even to the point of obedience to go to the cross, which was actually to defeat the devil, to make an open show of the devil, and to humiliate him through the resurrection. Well, the tree of knowledge and good and evil was placed there again as a barrier between man and God. And you look in chapter 3, and then this is the story of the fall. Well, at this time, God had created Eve. He took Eve from Adam's rib. Verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." And so Eve was taken from Adam's rib, and she became Adam's helpmate, and she then walked with Adam in the garden. But when the serpent came, the serpent was already in the garden, when he came to tempt and to test Adam and Eve, He spoke to Eve first. And so this was the way that he got to Adam. He came to Adam through his wife. And so I'm not going to draw any major conclusions from that. Sometimes God allows people around us to tempt us and to weaken us. Sometimes God allows the devil to use our wife, to use our children, to use our workmates. And sometimes God just allows the devil to come straight at you and not use anybody else. The attack is a forward attack, a straight-on attack. And so the devil has many cunning schemes. And so this is the way that he did it with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, Eve got that right, although she added that about the touching of the tree, that wasn't in the original instruction that God gave to Adam. But the serpent then came and said in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the devil flipped the script on Eve, and he said, it's not a curse for you to eat of that tree. You're not going to die. What God has told you is a lie, and what is actually the truth, the devil says, is that when you eat of it, you're going to be like God, and you will know good and evil. Well, that is true. They would know good and evil both. But man was not intended to receive evil. He was not intended to know evil. And so the curse that God spoke about eating of that tree was the truth. That was the truth. And the devil flipped it 180 degrees. And he said, you're going to know good and evil, but it will make you like God. And so Eve fell for the trick. Eve fell for the scheme, and Adam came along beside her. Eve took of the fruit. In verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so there it was, beloved. There is the fall of man right there. The devil flipped the script on Adam and Eve. They bit into the apple. It may not have been an apple, just some kind of fruit. And the devil flipped the script on them, and they desired to be wise and wise as God. They desired to know evil, because the devil made it to look like that was a beneficial thing for them. That was going to be a blessing for them, when in fact it was not a blessing. It was a curse, and we are still now living under that curse. The curse is over the whole world. It's not just on you or your family or some nation or some clan or tribe. The curse is over the whole world. The devil is the ruler of the world. The world is cursed because man was not intended to know evil. Once he ate of the fruit of the tree of the good and evil, then he opened himself up to the knowledge of evil, and all kinds of thoughts came into his mind, all kinds of plans came into his mind, all kinds of schemes came into his mind, because he was just like then, he was just like the devil, because the devil then could get into his mind, and the perfection that God had for him was no longer there. The perfection, the sinlessness, the no pain, the no sorrow. And now we see the effects and the consequences of the fallen world. Everywhere we look, it is a struggle to maintain justice. It is a struggle to maintain righteousness. The police here in this country are extremely corrupt. The courts are corrupt. The lawyers are corrupt, and I'm sure it's similar to that in many nations around the world. So after they ate in verse 7, Genesis 3, verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Well, they knew they were naked. They were ashamed because they knew they had sinned. They were ashamed because they had dishonored God. They've been disobedient to God, and so they had shame. And then when their eyes were opened, they saw that they were naked, and which represents exposure, represents a revealing that they needed a covering, and they no longer then had the innocence, and they no longer had that freedom of guilt, that freedom from guilt of their conscience. They were no longer innocent, and so they had to cover themselves to cover their shame and cover their guilt. And so at this point then, the serpent then has accomplished his mission to get man to fall, to get man to agree with the serpent. And instead of mankind having the bliss in the garden and the perfection in the garden for all time, now they had to deal with sin. Mankind had to deal with sin. And praise be to God, God had a plan even from the foundation of the world. It says Jesus Christ was known in Peter, 1 Peter 1, verse 20. It said Jesus Christ was known even from the foundation or before the foundation of the world. And so God had a plan even before the foundation of the world, even before the world was created. God had a plan to redeem mankind back to God, because God knew there was a probability or a possibility, and God can see ahead. He has no time constraints, no prophetic visionary constraints upon him. He can see ahead. He knows what's coming. He knows the beginning from the end. And so he knew that there would have to be a plan in place to reconcile man back to God. And beloved, we can thank God for that, that we have a plan in place. That plan is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And beloved, that is the opportunity for you to be reconciled back to God. Some of you, you don't know that God is your creator. Some of you, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You've been fighting with the devil, and the devil is winning. The devil is getting the upper hand. You don't know where to turn to be reconciled back to God. You don't know where to turn to get that peace and that joy that the devil has stolen from you. I say to you today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the open door. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. And he is the great I am. And so when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can know God, be reconciled back to God, have that peace and joy that God wants you to have. And you can have some semblance, not the total of the bliss that Adam and Eve had originally in the garden, but you can have some semblance of the glory of God walking on this earth with the joy that God will bring you when you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Well, we can see from this illustration, from this story, that the devil is a liar. He hasn't changed his tactics since this day in the Garden of Eden. He hasn't changed. He has still the same plan for you and for me. He wants to destroy you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he will try to steal your destiny, steal your calling, steal your family, steal your joy, everything that God has for you. The devil will try to steal it, and that is his plan for your life. He hasn't changed his tactics. He will lie to you. He will deceive you. He will con you. He will tempt you into doing things that you know aren't right. He will tempt you into doing things that are against the kingdom of God and God's plan for your life. And so the devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He's still a liar today. He flipped the script on Adam and Eve, and he will flip the script on you if you listen to him and you have a conversation with him and talk to him. That's why you need to take every thought captive and tear down every thought that the devil puts in your mind. Tear it down so that it does not take hold. It does not become then a thought plan for action. It does not become a habit, a stronghold, an iniquity, a repetitive pattern of sin. Take that thought captive when you know it is against the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life. Take that thought captive. Tear it down. Cast it out of your mind. And get your mind back on the things of God, that which is pure, that which is holy, that which is lovely, that which is of good repute. Get your mind dwell on those things and then act out those things, and you will be doing then the works of God. Well, John 8:44, Jesus is talking to the Jews there, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so when the devil talks to you, it may sound a little bit like the truth. There may be a little bit of truth. Eve fell for that when the devil said, "Oh, you're going to be as smart as God. You're going to be as wise as God, and you'll be able to know everything about good and evil." Well, that was not God's plan for them. And so God's plan for you is the same. He wants you to know his plan for your life. He wants you to know and to fulfill your calling, fulfill your destiny, and not to fulfill the plans of the devil in your life. Well, when the fall of Adam and Eve came, when it happened in that third chapter of Genesis, then there was prophecy spoken first over the devil, over the serpent, then over the woman, and then over Adam. And those prophecies start in verse 14 of chapter 3. "And so the Lord God said to the serpent," the devil, "because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or strife between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That was the first prophecy in the Bible spoken about Jesus Christ. "He shall bruise the devil's head," the serpent's head, "and you, the serpent, shall bruise his heel." And so that is the seed of the woman that he was speaking about, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 16, the prophecy over the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And so God was placing woman, as he had with Adam and Eve. He had placed the woman under Adam's care. She came from his rib. She was his helper. And so he reinforces that with this prophecy that the husband shall rule over you. In other words, the wife is to be submissive to the leadership of the husband, and the husband is to protect the wife. And then to Adam, verse 17, he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face," or the sweat of your brow, "you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And so those three prophecies then basically set out the direction of the Bible, the direction of God's word. The Bible is a story of Jesus Christ coming to redeem us, coming to set us free from the curse of the garden, from the curse of the fall in the garden. And so God has set us free from that through the blood of Jesus. God has provided a way for us where there was no way. God provided a way for us to be reconciled back to Him, to come back into His grace, to come back into His good standing, to come back into a place where our conscience is free. Jesus said it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, don't take that yoke of slavery upon you again. That's Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. The blood of Jesus is the open door to heaven. It's the open door to right standing, righteousness with God. The blood of Jesus is the opportunity and the way, the truth and the life, and the opportunity we have to know God in the same way that Adam and Eve knew Him in the garden. And so, beloved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that today. Confess Him, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and God will restore you. He will welcome you into His kingdom. Follow it up with Christian immersion baptism. And, beloved, if you do that, if you make that decision today, contact me, let me know. We'll get you some literature to get you started on your Christian walk. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all of the good messages He has given us. If you want to be a part of this ministry, help support the projects in Africa, help support this radio ministry, we invite you to do that. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, or if you want to pay with a credit card or debit card, you can do that through PayPal. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.